Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bikes and Big Ideas on the Blister Podcast Network. I'm David Golay, the bike editor at Blister and host of the show, and you can check out everything we are doing and reviewing over at blisterreview.com. Brooke McDonald made a remarkable and inspiring return to racing World Cup downhill after breaking his back at the Mont Saint Anne race in 2019. But behind the scenes, things haven't been the easiest for him over the last couple of years since making that return. And Brooke is remarkably open and candid about the ways that he's struggled with feelings of burnout, challenges with his bike setup, and a whole lot more over the last few years. And we sat down to hear all about it, and also the things that Brooke has changed to come into the 2024 season feeling reinvigorated and hungry to race and compete again. So, very interesting conversation in which Brooke is really remarkably candid about everything he's been going through for the last several years and the feelings that he's got for this upcoming season where things are looking brighter than they have in a while. So, it's a very cool conversation and really appreciate Brooke opening up for it. But before we get into that, I would like to encourage you to take a moment to check out our Blister Plus membership, which includes not only $25,000 of zero deductible injury insurance should you get hurt mountain biking, skiing, running, or doing any number of a very extensive list of outdoor activities anywhere in the world, but also lets you send us an email, get a personalized gear recommendation for your next bike upgrade, help with your suspension setup or whatever else that you might need, and a bunch of great discounts on gear from a ton of good manufacturers, and access to all of our flash reviews and deep dives where we go into a whole lot more depth on all the gear that we're reviewing. So, ton of great stuff in there. Check it out at the link in the show notes. And with that, let's get right to my conversation with Brooke McDonald. Well, Brooke, great to sit down and chat. How are you doing and where are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm currently in Rotorua. I've recently moved up here probably like 4 months ago. Just kind of needed a change of scenery, and my girlfriend lives up here too. So yeah, it's a great place. Mountain biking is really good. Like Hawke's Bay where I was living, just there was no scene there and it kind of had died a long time ago, and the mountain bike park there is all been logged, so there's not much really going on there. And I feel like where I am with my career at the moment, I kind of need to capitalize on as much riding as possible to kind of get me to, I guess, where, you know, I want to, well, where my expectations are and like my goals that I want to meet. I feel like I really need to be close to good riding and being able to ride my bike every day. So yeah, I'm really happy where I am now, and just to be able to ride my bike every day has been a huge impact on like just everyday living and making me actually love riding bikes again, because I felt like I got to a point where I just really didn't enjoy riding bikes because I kind of had to travel and just a bunch of other things that were going on. So yeah, it's good to be back in a place where I'm like happy to be riding bikes and doing it for the love again, and you know, going back to where it all first started.
Right on. And certainly good to hear that you're kind of feeling refreshed and reinvigorated there, and with season kind of getting fired up pretty quick here, or World Cup season anyway. Obviously you've been added a bit with Hardline and Crankworks and what have you, which we'll get into in a few here, I'm sure. But I mean, tell us a little bit about that kind of low point you described of feeling like you weren't really loving riding anymore, and sort of when would you say was kind of the deepest part of that, or where do you hit the wall where you were just kind of burned out and no longer in it?
Yeah, I guess probably the last Oh, I would say probably the last 4 years has been a real struggle for me. I just had a bike that I didn't gel with. I really struggled to ride. I just think it didn't suit my style. And yeah, like I just constantly, we constantly tried to make it work. And I felt like we went around in circles a lot. And for that period of time, I just felt like every race weekend was kind of a test weekend of actually getting to a point where I felt comfortable on the bike. And then again, when I did feel comfortable on the bike, it was going from feeling comfortable to that next step of feeling uncomfortable in race scenarios, because obviously you're pushing that much harder. So the bike's working a lot differently to what you were in practice. So yeah, I just felt like that really burnt me out. And yeah, I kind of just felt like I got to a point where I lost like all confidence, like trust, in myself. I doubted myself a lot because I really didn't know if I could get back to where I was. Like deep down, I knew I could if I had the right equipment, but just at the time, I didn't have anything that kind of worked for me. And yeah, I think probably 2022, Val de Sol was like my lowest point. Like, I didn't race because I felt like I was at a point where if I raced, there was kind of no point of me going out there and trying my best and coming 40th place. And I felt like at that point, like that track was super hard, and I just didn't want to risk anything and everything to come 40th place. So I think that was probably the lowest point where I kind of like was pulled pin and said, I'm not gonna race this race. And I feel like I never really do that because it's kind of not in my nature to stop racing and, you know, say, look, I'm not gonna race this weekend because I don't feel great. And then just, yeah, I guess through those years in the off season, it was super hard to try and like have motivation to come back in each season and have like something that I was looking forward to or like goals that I'd set, but I'd go and start racing and those goals were never achievable. So I kind of felt like I got to a point where I just doubted myself that those goals were never going to be achieved. And then, yeah, we got a new bike last year. But that was also difficult because we only got it 2 weeks before the first World Cup. So we didn't really have a whole heap of time to set up and do a bunch of testing. Went to the first race. And I did pretty good. I finished 25th, and I thought like from there I could take the confidence and momentum into the rest of the season. But because we really didn't have a whole heap of time on the bike, Lenzerheide was like similar to Leogang where we'd been testing, like kind of like bike parky, high speed, not a whole heap of tech. And then yeah, sort of when we started to go to like the more technical, rougher tracks, I started to notice like different things of how the bike was working. And then we kind of just like had to go through stages of changing stuff and trying different stuff at the races, which you really don't like the level we're at now. We don't really want to be doing a whole heap of changes on the bike and almost like you're there testing because you really want to focus on your racing, your line choices and getting up to speed. Whereas I felt like I was at a point where I had so much going on, everything was just so overwhelming and trying to piece together everything while setting up my bike and getting comfortable on it by the time I come to race, and especially with the three races, I just felt like I was burnt out and burnt out every weekend. And I just got to a point where like racing wasn't actually fun anymore. And I kind of, that kind of wasn't what I wanted it to be, because I didn't really want to be taken away from the sport that I grew up in, that I love. And then, yeah, so I really didn't have a good season last year. And yeah, like I said, the last four seasons have been a real big struggle. And then, yeah, just, I guess like a bunch of other stuff going on in my life, like personal stuff that I struggled with. That really got me to a low point, and I had no team for this year. Obviously with the bike industry and the way it is, like, it's just difficult. And, you know, I was kind of, my contract was up just in a period where everyone else was still under contract, and there was only a few riders that that were out of contract. So, like, you know, like, if you were to pick a rider, it would be like, you know, someone like Danny Hart, who has had results like over me. And I mean, even looking at him, it's like crazy to think that he didn't pick up anything until a couple of weeks ago, and you're talking about someone who's like 2-time world champion, multiple podium rider, and he can't even get a team. So I was like at a point where I was stressing because I had no options. Like, I'd been talking to Forbidden, but there was no, like, it wasn't set what they wanted to do. And I guess I kind of went into a place where, like, I got quite excited because I was talking to a new brand and just a complete change for me. And I didn't, like, in my head, like, I manifested it actually being the team that I was going to be on, but also I didn't really know what was going to happen. So there was a lot of waiting. And then, yeah, obviously I kind of pulled myself out of a low period. Like, I just kind of like said to myself, well, you'll figure something out. Just focus on like your goals and the training you want to do and what you want to do. So I really like focused on changing a lot of stuff around me, and like my body weight. I dropped a heap of kilos, just because I was like, well, we're racing tracks where I feel like being lighter is going to make a huge difference. And just like watching Jackson Goldstone and Laurie and, you know, those lighter guys, they make it look so much easier. And I feel since I've dropped so much weight, my riding has changed. And I've also noticed how much easier it is to carry speed, and like just the smallest things that make a huge difference on a bike for your fitness when you're lighter compared to being heavier. So yeah, I really put a lot of focus into that, and then still waited a long time until the Forbidden deal come about. And then, yeah, when that came about, it was just like a whole fresh start for me, because I'd been with MS for 5 years, so it was kind of time for a change. I just felt like I needed to go somewhere else and have like a complete change from everything. And I think yeah, that happening has made a massive impact on my goals and my hunger to race bikes again. And just the love that I have for bikes has like come back to where it's always been, kind of where I lost it, but I've found the love for bikes again.
Well, really good to hear that you're kind of feeling back on track there and have that fire again. And I mean, you talk about kind of that last four seasons having been a challenge, and obviously I'm sure, you know, big piece of that's coming back from your back injury in the crash in Mont Saint-Anne in 2019. And how much you think it was kind of like a compounding thing where you had a bike that you maybe weren't entirely clicking with, and you're coming back from this enormous injury and had to learn how to walk again, even, and trying to do that on a bike you're not feeling confident on, and like having these two sorts of impediments to being where you want to be kind of stacking on top of each other. I'm imagining that didn't help, say. Fair assessment there?
Yeah, definitely. I guess, with the injury, I think if I had a bike that I kind of got on and gelled with, it would have made so much easier, because then it would have taken away all the other stuff that I was working on, because obviously there was so much that I had to work on with coming back, and then like kind of trying to make myself sort of suit the bike and the way it worked with like the injury that I had, because I still like struggled a lot with weakness in my legs. So the bike that we were riding had a lot of pedal feedback, and obviously that into my legs really made it difficult for me. So I kind of struggled a lot with that. But yeah, I feel like if I had something, say like the 2019 bike that I was on, if I was still riding that after my injury, I feel like it probably would have, the transition would have been a lot different, because I knew that bike and I knew how it rode. And then we went on to a new bike that we hadn't really tested much, and then it went into like a carbon production. So like there wasn't really a whole heap of testing done from the alloy to the carbon. And then when we went to the carbon was, it was quite a stiff bike. So we didn't really play too much around with like the layers of carbon and that sort of thing. So yeah, I think just it made it so much more difficult for me. Obviously dealing with so much other things going on and not being able to just focus on my racing. That was real tough. And obviously coming back from the injury into a bike that I didn't feel overly comfortable on, that just like mentally drained me. And like I feel like I could have given up, but I just felt like every year that maybe there was going to be a miracle and that I could get some results. But there were some results in there, but just never the consistency that I ever wanted, which sucked, because I'd literally come off a season where I was so consistent before my injury. And then I guess taking away my injury and looking at this season, like the fourth season, there was just no consistency in there. And I put in so much work, and I guess like the work I put in was, it was hard to see all of that work kind of go to waste and not get to where I wanted to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time to be grinding and not getting the results you want and continuing to struggle with the bike. And I mean, we don't need to go too much into the particulars of what wasn't working about that bike with you, but I kind of would be curious to hear more about it from the angle of just what you sort of, what you do like in a bike, and kind of what, you know, if you're sort of envisioning a bike that works for you and is kind of the sort of thing you're after, like, are there any particular key attributes that are just important to you and what kind of click with your riding style, or any kind of general thoughts on what you tend to gel with?
Yeah, I guess like the Mondraker, it wasn't a bad bike, but it just, I don't think it was designed around a World Cup race bike. Like it was great for bike parks and just your average consumer. Like when I would ride on the bike park, it was a sick bike. But just taking it to that next step where we were racing World Cups and going fast, there was stuff that it didn't work for me. And I think probably being a heavier rider, it made it more difficult, because if you compare Laurie when he was on that bike, like he struggled, but he for sure got some good results. But obviously not the consistency he ever wanted. And compared to me, like I felt the bike was really hard to work. Like with my weight, I just felt like it was quite sluggish, like it wallowed a lot, and I just really couldn't find a right place where I felt like the bike set up for me and I could carry speed and I didn't have to work it as much. So yeah, I guess like a bike that I would feel comfortable on is something, I guess, pretty simple, like something that I could hop on and feel straight away that it's a good bike, that it kind of sits up, it doesn't wallow, it's balanced. Yeah, I'm not like, I like to get quite, you know, when I'm with someone and talking back and forth about stuff, it's easier for me to explain how I like a bike. But like when I'm sitting here and thinking about it, I find it like quite hard to explain because I just feel like I have it, like I have a lot of knowledge, but just I feel like I get caught up on it. And yeah, I just kind of feel like something, you know, like the bikes that have worked really good for me are like the 20, when we were like 2018, 2019 Mondraker, the 20 when I was like 2014 to 16 Trek, Evil. They were all real good bikes that I got to ride, and I feel like all pretty straightforward, simple bikes, but just worked really well for the level of racing that we were at. And I guess like it also comes down to like your suspension, your tires. I think people really don't know how much importance that plays into making a bike work, because obviously your tires are the first point of contact. So you have good tires that work well, it's going to obviously work with the bike and make things so much better. And that's what we also struggle with Mondraker is the tires. We just really didn't have a tire that kind of worked well for us. And then obviously with so much like carbon wheels, carbon bars, stiff carbon frame, the Fox stuff was quite stiff. So you add all of that together, it makes quite a stiff bike. And like, I feel you don't really need an overly stiff bike when we're racing World Cups, because you obviously want that flex in there to know and feel how the bike's working. So yeah, I think like going back, all those bikes that I've ridden that I just listed off were really good bikes. And obviously now, hopping on the Forbidden bike, the High Pivot, I think that's such a great bike. Like the design and just the whole idea behind that bike is pretty cool. And yeah, I feel like when you've ridden so much and you've raced for so many years, like hopping on a bike and noticing straight away how comfortable you feel, that's when I feel like I know what a good bike is. And for sure, that's how I felt when I hopped on the Forbidden. And like obviously going to RockShox and SRAM has also been a massive change for me. So that has also, I think, you know, made things so much different and a different outlook on how different suspension and drive chain work. So it's been pretty cool as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of different stuff to be figuring out and getting used to. And did you have much of an opportunity to ride the bike before you signed on with Forbidden, or kind of just go into that a little bit blind and sorted it out?
I went into it blind. I did like watch a lot of reviews on YouTube, and you know, did a lot of reading about how they worked, and obviously with Connor racing them and watching them, they like looked pretty good, and I felt it was kind of a bike that kind of suited me. So I wasn't really nervous getting the bike and thinking this is not going to work for me, because I kind of had like read a lot and watched a lot of reviews on them, and I kind of felt like from what I'd heard and watched, they kind of suited my style. And yeah, they have. And I think like the opportunity that I was given to be able to ride for this company was like a massive opportunity, because I really didn't have anything other than these guys sitting on the table to race bikes again.
Yeah. And when did you get the contract with Forbidden sorted out, and kind of when's all this going down?
There was, I want to say it was like mid to late January. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes. It was
very last
pretty
minute.
Late, yeah.
We kind of like had something agreed, and then Forbidden kind of really didn't know what was going on, like with the downhill. So they kind of like pulled back. And then a week later, they're like, sweet, we're good to go again. And then, yeah, I was like, I was not hesitating. And I was just like, I need to sign this so I can get bikes and start riding. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think the opportunity to be working with, I feel like such a small, well, not, I wouldn't say small, but like a niche brand in the mountain bike world is really cool. And I just love the way the how they've worked on the bike and the design and the passion the guys have for making something so different to everyone else.
Certainly some pretty interesting stuff going on with the design of it. And did an episode actually with Owen Pemberton a little while back, kind of talking about the design, some of the current stuff. I've not ridden any of the newer gen Forbidden stuff. Reviewed the Dreadnought a while back, but obviously that's, you know, kind of the first iteration single pivot layout rather than the newer stuff like the Supernaut and the, well, updated Druid now. But yeah, I mean, glad to hear that it's kind of coming together and feeling reasonably comfortable on it, getting things going there. And you've been doing a bit of racing. Obviously World Cups haven't gotten fired up quite yet, but we're getting not that far off now.
No, it's coming up real quick.
Hardline Tasmania and then Crankworx Rotorua were a couple of early stops for you. Curious to hear a bit more about Hardline in particular. You know, sort of a burly thing to be firing up the season with in a way. And like, how does it feel kind of thinking about the added risk of taking that on, especially at the beginning of the season? And obviously Jackson had a rough go of it, unfortunately. So, you know, it's cool to see the series expanding and the second stop in Tasmania, but at the same time, you know, like historically having the Welsh one at the end of the season, at least you're kind of maybe mitigating that risk in a way, you're not jeopardizing a full World Cup season with it, and different whole ball of wax this time around. So how'd it go?
Well, I guess for me, I really didn't have anything to lose, because at the time I made the decision of racing Hardline, I didn't have a team or anything. So it was kind of just, you know, I was going to go over there and race it. But obviously with the Forbidden thing that came about, it was still there, and I felt like it was a good race to go to, because the exposure you get there is insane. So for a starter, like just signing with a new team, I think that was like a great decision to go over there and race it, because we got so much exposure. Connor and I, like, it was pretty cool that someone like Connor, who probably never ever thought he would race Hardline, come and raced and like did pretty good too. It was pretty sick to see. But yeah, just I feel like the course in Tassie was sick. It was like a mix of, I guess, a dream downhill track that any downhill racer could ever want. It had like tech in it, high speed, big jumps. But I felt like everything there was super safe. It was big, but I think it was big enough to be safe and like not actually questioning it. Because I felt like for myself, when I'd been to Hardline Wales, like some of that stuff's big, and I seem to like question myself a lot there. Especially when I sit there and watch all the other riders hit the stuff, and then I'm kind of like the, you know, not the last person, but at that tail end, it's kind of scary knowing that you've still got to tick off features when everyone else has ticked off stuff well before you. So my whole idea going into Hardline was that I just wanted to kind of get through all the features the first day, so I had confidence going into the week knowing that I was comfortable on all that stuff, and which we did. We kind of ticked off a lot of stuff on the first day, along with the women too, which was pretty sick. And then, yeah, it was pretty awesome. And then, yeah, it was kind of a long week of riding. So for myself, I had already been over there 3 days before, just doing some testing, kind of getting set up on the bike with Maddie, our team manager, just trying some different stuff. So I did like, I think probably 8 days straight riding. So by the time I come to race day, I'd almost felt like from the riding I did and then riding the Hardline course through the, I think it was about 3 or 4 days of training, I just really felt like I got up to speed probably too quick, and I got to a point where I couldn't go any faster. So like my race run, well, probably my qualifying run was somewhat of my limit, and I knew I sort of had some more in it for finals, but just not that little bit more to be, you know, at that top end. So yeah, like for me, it was an awesome week, great experience, like good week just riding bikes and actually building my confidence, because obviously from the last 4 years I lost so much confidence just in riding a bike, and just something that, yeah, I could go to and get out of my comfort zone and build some confidence going into the World Cup season. And I think it was actually a really good start for a hard line, because as much as the jumps looked big and scary, I felt like they were super safe and they were big, but everything just worked so perfectly. And like the risk of coming up short or going too deep, there wasn't much of that, because there was, you know, like nice deep landings, nice big case pads. So yeah, I think they've done a great job of the course, and yeah, just a great week of racing bikes. And I felt like before, when I've raced Hardline, especially in Wales, I've kind of like just wanted to get to the bottom, and it's not felt like a race for me, whereas Tassie actually felt like a race for me. So yeah, it's good to get like back into that right, you know, frame of mind of racing and going fast again. And then yeah, obviously Crankworx last week or 2 weekends ago was good, because there was like a lot of fast guys there and just a good place to be and see where you're kind of sitting going into the season. Unfortunately, I just had a small shitty crash in my race run, but I qualified third. Like that was something I felt I could take confidence from as well, which is good, because obviously, you know, like we had Lockie and BK, Tuhoto, a lot of fast guys there. So yeah, to be able to, you know I'm up there and my speed's there was good. But just what I took away from that weekend was that I actually felt disappointed for a longer period of time than I actually would feel disappointed if I was in the other circumstance. Like I feel like I can get over it pretty quickly, but I really felt like I struggled to get over my race run and what happened in it. A lot. It took me quite a while to get over it, and I kind of, you know, had that thought process of what happened, what I could have done differently. So for me, kind of taking away all that stuff from that race weekend was a good indication for me, knowing that I have that hunger back, that I am back in that like place where I love racing bikes and going fast and wanting to win. Because I feel like before, if that happened to me, I would have walked away and been like, oh, that's okay, you know, move on, see you at the next race. Whereas now I'm like, I was upset about it. I was pissed off of what happened, knowing that I was on a pretty good run and just knowing the things that I could have done differently. I think, yeah, it's a good sign for me going into the World Cup season.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, like, I think you put it pretty well there, kind of just that feeling like you really care is just a good indication that your heart's back in it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I lost that fully, then there's no point in racing bikes anymore.
What do you think you attribute that change of perspective to? Just new scenery, new environment, new bike, kind of change of pace, or more to it than that?
I think just changing my whole lifestyle. Obviously, moving to Rotorua, having the option of riding my bike every day. Literally, I ride out of my from my doorstep and I'm 12 minutes to the forest. So it's kind of like I don't have to force myself to go ride my bike anymore, whereas before I felt like I had to force myself, and I did it because I knew I had to do it to prepare myself for racing. Whereas now I actually just ride out of my door and I want to ride my bike. It's not because I have to. And I think, like, yeah, obviously change of team. And I think coming with a change of team, like going to SRAM, going to RockShox, changing gear sponsor, like, I think just mixing everything up brings just a new, I think just a new hunger and new drive to, you know, wanting what I want to achieve in, you know, my career. And I think it's always nice to change it up and have a mix, because sometimes it can get stale, and, you know, being around the same people for 5 years, it just kind of gets the same over and over again. And I think changing it up is always nice. And for me, I just, you know, I wanted something smaller, like a smaller team where I could, you know, feel like just there wasn't a whole heap of people around and I could just focus on racing my bike. I didn't have to focus on other stuff that come with having a massive team. So yeah, also changing my trainer. I got a new trainer this year, so that's also been a huge motivation and drive to get back to where I was before. Like I said before, I had my last coach for 8 years, and that was an awesome 8 years, but I just felt like it was time to change because things were the same and I wanted to do something differently. So yeah, just a whole lifestyle change, really. Just kind of trying to focus on myself and the smaller things that I can do differently, I guess, to get the results I want in the, I guess, in this where we're racing now, like where everything's gone. I think it's, yeah, really important to be at the top end of everything, from, you know, nutrition to training to time on the bike to testing. Like, our sport has changed so much, and I think you need to do so much more than we used to be at that top end of racing.
Say more about that. I mean, obviously there are a million things about World Cup downhill racing that have changed over the course of your career, from tracks have evolved, the broadcasting changes last year are obviously kind of a big deal, the bike industry is in a weird place, and so on. There's a whole big laundry list there. But I guess I'm curious for you to go in a little more detail about the bit about just feeling like you need to be more on top of more stuff in terms of training and diet and all the rest. Like, is it kind of just the sort of thing where people are incrementally raising the bar and so you need to do the same in order to keep up? Or is there some things to do with the evolution of tracks that have changed the way your approach needs to be taken on too? Or how do you think about all that?
I think the evolution of the way tracks are changed. Like I was saying before, you look at Jackson, for example, he's probably, 65 kilos. And I really took away a lot of stuff from his Mount St. Anne run. And I've always liked Mount St. Anne. I always felt like it's been a track that suited me, but they've also changed a lot in it. And I think for me personally, I think what I've done in my off season and the weight I've dropped is going to help me, benefit me a lot more in the way the tracks are going. I think just in general, how fast and high speed they are, how straight some of them are. There's not a whole heap of steepness in them. So I feel like probably being a little bit lighter, being able to pick up over the smallest things to maintain speed compared to being heavier. Because from when I got home last year, I was really focused on dropping weight. So I dropped 10 kilos and I was that's what I feel like I need to do to get to a place where I'm going to feel comfortable going fast and being able to attack it from top to bottom. Whereas being heavier, you fatigue so much quicker compared to, someone who's 10 kilos lighter than you. So that was my biggest, the biggest goal for me was to do that. And I think, the way our tracks are going, the way racing's going, three races in a weekend, you need to focus so much on your diet, what you're eating, what you're putting in your body, the intake. And I think just being consistent of good sleep, managing your runs. Because I feel obviously, being heavier, you're working so much more. So I felt by the time I came to race runs, I was pretty tired. And it's not like I didn't train hard, but I just felt being heavier and obviously having to work a bike that didn't work so well for me a lot harder kind of took away, that physical side of how fit I actually felt compared to putting to a race run together. I always got to the bottom and I was man, I don't feel fit at all. So, I think just a combination of a lot of that. And I think the way our racing's going, obviously the bigger teams have a bigger budget compared to smaller teams. So they have the facilities of being able to go and test and try different stuff. And I think the testing is so important. And I think if you can keep a consistency of that, I always look at Specialized, for example, how much they do in the off season is so much stuff. And they can do that because they obviously have the budget, but also they have the drive to win. And I think if you have the drive to win, you put anything and everything into that. And I think Specialized and Common Style are probably two teams that stand out that do that. Obviously, there's still a lot of other teams that do that too, but on a smaller scale and smaller budget. And that's also harder to do when you potentially have people living, halfway across the world, and it's not, cheap to fly people over, and just there's so much stuff that comes with it. So I think, for me, definitely going to a new company and new suspension has been a good thing, because I feel with RockShox compared to Fox, Fox definitely, there's a lot more going on with Fox, whereas RockShox, there's not a whole heap going on, but the changes you can make on it can be, well, are significant. And there's not a whole heap of changes that you can do, which I like. It's nice and simple and it's easy to set up. And I feel with a Fox, if I was testing myself or just out riding by myself, I felt it was quite difficult to find the perfect setup and how I want to set it up and going back and forth between high speed, low speed, and rebound, and all of that stuff was quite tough when I didn't have anyone there to help me. So I think like having something a little bit more simple has been a huge impact on me being able to focus on my riding rather than focusing on how the suspension's working and what I'm going to change. So yeah, like a little bit off topic, but yeah, I think it's, yeah, having a good team around you, like people that are wanting to put everything into making you want to be the best, and I think giving you, you know, everything that you need is so important, especially at the how high end our sport is at the moment. It's yeah, you need everything to basically win.
I guess a little bit of a tangent, but I'm kind of right there with you that RockShox has done an especially impressive job of just making their newer generation stuff, the forks especially, just very straightforward to set up.
Like, yeah, it's so nice.
They're really easy to work with. Yeah. And, you know, like Fox stuff works great. Yeah. Not slagging that off at all, but it's definitely more complicated to set up than RockShox's current stuff. They've done some pretty slick work there. And, I mean, you touched on the evolution of World Cup racetracks and the fact that things are trending just faster and more wide open, generally speaking. Have you seen much of the couple of new stops that are on the circuit this year? You know, there's Poland and Hearts of Law. Like, do you know much about those tracks? I'm actually curious because I've not seen anything yet.
Nah. Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet either. I'm also curious to see what it's going to be like. I think it's good that they've added some stops. I mean, like, coming from New Zealand, I honestly, it's so tough because I feel like we race a European series, but they class it as a World Cup series, which kind of annoys me because majority of our racing is done in Europe. We have one stop at Mount St. Anne, which is in Canada. Like, if you're going to class it as a World Cup series, at least, you know, come to New Zealand or go to Australia or go to East Asia or Brazil, you know, wherever, like, you can go to class it as a World Cup series, because I feel like we just go to the same stops year in and year out. And as much as it is nice, I feel like people kind of get over it. Unless we're going there and they're building a completely new track, I think it would be fine. But because we go back and race on the same track with maybe some small changes, it kind of just gets stale. And I feel like, for example, Fort William, you know, I've literally been going there since 2008. So, and like, the track is still the same. It hasn't changed a whole heap. And I mean, they can't really do too much there, but I think it's just nice to mix it up and go different places. I think Poland would be cool. Something different, new track, new place. Yeah. But, yeah, going back to like the evolution of how tracks are changing, I think it's just it's not really the way our sport should be going, but it is, because I think it makes it look more exciting on TV for people watching. But then it also takes away the ability of how good of bike riders we are, because we don't have the technical aspect in there, like off camber, you know, big roots, massive, you know, big rock gardens, stuff like that, which I think we really need in World Cups. And I think like also big jumps too, like big jumps would be really cool to have in World Cups, but we don't have that stuff. And I think it's just all based on TV and how good it looks on TV. And I think, you know, the faster we go, the better it looks. Whereas, you know, if we're not creeping across a off camber section, but we're not looking as fast as what we would on a straight, then it doesn't maybe not bring the excitement to the people that are watching. But I feel like most people that are watching know what downhill is about and the technical aspect and what comes with riding a downhill track, they'd really know how hard that stuff is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. It's like, I understand the idea of trying to appeal to a broader and less well-versed audience in what it actually takes to do this stuff. But at the same time, I just feel like especially given the changes in broadcasting and the fact that it's, you know, frankly, hasn't been the easiest to watch last year.
No, definitely not.
You're kind of self-selecting down to a more committed, hardcore group of fans
who
kind of know what's up and can better appreciate some of the nuances of just what something more technical really entails. And, you know,
totally
things
agree.
Don't always translate great to camera either. No. So, you know, stuff's always steeper and gnarlier than it looks on TV. But it's hard to know where the right line is there.
It is. It is for sure. Because obviously I've come from where the tracks, where we used to race like Schladming and Champerie, all those tracks, that was like proper downhill. So I come into the scene where it was like, you know, proper gnarly downhill, and just watching it change over the years has been quite difficult. Not so much like, I guess probably up until like maybe 2018, like 2018, 2019, I feel like tracks are still pretty good then. But just, I think, I feel from there onwards, kind of, it's just changed a lot to suit. I guess it's to suit people that don't know about the sport, that are coming into it, that are new. It can be like, oh, wow, that sport's exciting because they're going so fast. Whereas, like, you know, the people that have been following it for years understand that the change has changed a lot, and it's taking away what actual downhill is about. And I think the way it's changed now is just, I don't know, I feel like, you know, if I was a person on the outside watching, I feel like I probably wouldn't even follow the sport because there's so much going on. You have three races, you're sitting there for like, what, 3.5 hours to watch semis and finals. And you kind of know from like semis into finals what's going to happen, just because you're racing on a track that everyone's on the same line, everyone's going pretty much the same speed. It's basically who can go from top to bottom with a consistent fast speed and no mistakes. And that's also what makes the sport harder, because you're literally on the limit of making a mistake or having that perfect run, which I think is cool. But I also think we need to, like, it needs to come back to what actual downhill was about and is about. My personal opinion anyway. And I think we need to go back to like the basics, just qualifying in finals, because I think that makes it way more exciting. It gives the people that are watching, you know, that people only have so much attention span of watching something, and you're watching something for 3.5 hours, they lose it pretty quickly, and you want something that is like short and sharp, that's going to bring the excitement. And I think that just having qualifying and finals is what brings those people to the table, and what you know, they know that there's just going to be one run and everyone's going to be putting it on the line. So yeah, it'd be actually interesting to see like the number and the viewerships of each race, and, you know, compared to years before, of like what people actually watch. Because I've spoken to people before, and, you know, people will just kind of like, kind of off it, don't really follow it too much. And these are people that are like, you know, diehard mountain bike fans and who follow downhill, but have like just got bored of watching what our sport's become.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, and well, I guess looking forward to this upcoming season, though. I mean, first stop at Fort Bill's coming up in, well, just over a month as of when we're recording this. Do you have any particular specific goals in mind for the year, or kind of how are you approaching thinking about where you want to end up and what you want to do this year?
Yeah, I guess I don't really have any specific goals, just because I felt like the last 4 years I've set goals and I've never achieved them. So I'm just kind of going to be open this year, and whatever comes, comes. And hopefully I can start off with a good result at Fort William, and then just take that result and work into the season with that. And obviously with the new team and new everything, like, my motivation is super high to go racing. So I'm really looking forward to going to Fort William and racing. Whereas if you would ask me the same question last year, I probably would tell you I'm excited, but deep down I really wasn't. So that's, I think that's a great sign as well. And yeah, like, obviously I do have goals, and I want to like be a consistent top 15, top 10 rider. And if I could finish 10th, you know, in the top 10 in the overall, that would be a massive achievement for me, because I know how hard that is, and the level of racing now is so high. So yeah, I mean, no like specific goals. I just want to go out and race my bike and have fun, and put no pressure on myself. And I guess, you know, with that, potentially the results will come. And yeah, that's how I'm going to approach this year.
Right on. I mean, I think it's a hard thing to sort of know where to draw the line with goal setting, between not setting a bar for yourself, but then also not, you know, shooting for things that are unachievable.
And exactly.
Disappointing yourself and yeah. Just getting down about the fact that you're not pulling off these somewhat arbitrary goals you set for yourself, maybe. And so, I mean, it really just sounds like, though, you're in a better place than you've been in a bit, and going into the season on a strong point, and that's really good to hear.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the best place I've ever been for a long time. I think somewhat of my racing career for sure. Obviously, you're always in a great place when good results are coming and, you know, things work around you. So yeah, I just think genuinely, like, overall where I'm at is really good. I've just got good people around me. I think it's so important in this day and age is to have good people around you, the right people for sure. People that, you know, bring you up and make you happy. I think that's such a big key to achieving, you know, life goals and goals in general, especially being an athlete.
Yeah. Goes a long way.
Yeah, definitely.
Glad to hear that you're feeling in a good place going into the season here. And
thank you.
Looking forward to following along and getting racing going here soon. So thanks again for coming on, Brooke. This has been a lot of fun. And
yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Good luck with the season. Excited to watch it.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for this edition of Bikes and Big Ideas. And as always, we would very much appreciate you leaving us a rating or review in your podcast player of choice to help keep the show going and growing. I'd also like to say thanks to Brooke for the conversation, thanks to Taylor Ahern for producing the episode, and thanks to you for listening. From all of us at Blister, please take good care of yourself and everybody else, and we'll be back again next week. Bye, everybody.